I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The word of God for the people of God.
We are looking at the book of Proverbs. We're calling it the beginning of wisdom, a study in the book of Proverbs. Before we dive into the passage of Proverbs that we'll be looking at today, I would like to just give a little bit of a backdrop to the book itself, to this collection of wisdom sayings. And that's what you kind of do with an introduction, right? When you're going to go through a book of the Bible, you want to put it kind of in its context somewhat. But let's begin with the definition of a proverb. A proverb, this is important, but it's a short sentence of wisdom drawn from long experience. So it's a short sentence of wisdom that's drawn from long experience. In other words, a proverb is like shorthand for situations in life that occur often enough that people feel the need to write it down. So it's, you kind of catch what I'm saying? So it's something that you observe on a pretty regular basis, and you think, you know what? At least most of the time, that works. And we're going to write that down, and it is a piece of wisdom. Proverbs are designed to stimulate thought and provide insight. So who here can share a modern proverb with us? Any of you got any modern proverbs that you can think of or proverbs that you might be familiar with? Yeah, Larissa.
The early bird gets the worm.
The early bird gets the worm. So yeah, that's a proverb, right? And what does it mean? It really doesn't mean that the early bird gets the worm. I mean, maybe it does, but what does that mean for you and for me? Why is that a wisdom saying or a proverb? Wake up early and get things done, okay? And you could debate that, but that, you know, there's it's the idea, you know, if you get engaged, if you initiate something, you get what you're going for, kind of. So, how about another one, Mark?
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Okay, the pen is mightier than the sword. That's another kind of a proverb. And what is that? What does that generally mean? It means that education or understanding is actually more powerful than going to war or violence. And boy, you can think about that. The expressions of ideology that go on, that influence whole cultures, nations, and peoples is probably more powerful than the sword, especially over the course of the long run. So there are many proverbs. I actually looked online, and you guys came up with a couple, so I won't even go any further. But, you know, they said 150 modern-day proverbs, and I was reading them through, and most of them I'd heard in some fashion or another. So I think we have a fairly good idea, at least about the nature of a proverb, but how about like the book itself, the book of Proverbs? As I'm explaining that, first let me try to express to you what I think the book of Proverbs is not, okay? What is the book of Proverbs is not? It is not a book of absolute principles that allow us to predict or even control how life will turn out, or a collection of promises that we can cash in like coupons. Now, before you get too worked up about that statement, let me ask you this. Are there not parents who have done their best to raise their children in the way they should go? But in the end, they did depart from the things that we taught them. Okay? I know a lot of grieving parents that have had that verse quoted to them, and then they have to ask themselves, what did I do wrong? Well, all of us did something wrong. But the general idea is that if you raise your child up in the way they should go, they won't depart from it, right? But it's not an absolute statement. It is a wisdom statement. I think this is pretty critical to understanding Proverbs. Or can you honestly tell me that there has never been a righteous person who has gone hungry? Yet Proverbs 10:3 says, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the wicked. Okay, there's a deeper meaning actually to that than just the literal, because there are righteous people in this world that have died of starvation. Does that make the word of God not true? No, it makes the way we interpret the word of God incorrect. Okay, the wisdom statements are things that are generally true. And they're things that 99 times out of 100 or whatever, that's the way it's going to work. But there's, you just, you know, again, you can debate me later if you'd like to. But I would say that Proverbs describe the way life usually works, not how it always works or must work. All right? Wisdom sayings are observations about life. So what is the book of Proverbs? Well, first of all, it is a collection of collected wisdom sayings. So even though the book starts off the Proverbs of Solomon, King of Israel, the book itself indicates other writers. When you get later on into it, it talks about King Lemuel and some others and some of their sayings. So these are all collections of wisdom sayings that were then collected into the book of Proverbs. And they are the word of God to us. Right as we rightly understand them. So I'm not going to go into the details today of the different authors and literary styles used in the gathered collection because that would just take up way too much time. But as we're going through, I think we'll kind of point them out to you along the way. The second thing I want to say is that these various collections of writings were then brought together to form what we today call the Book of Proverbs. And Proverbs offer us a vision of true or godly wisdom. So remember in Ecclesiastes, we were differentiating between worldly wisdom, understanding life under the sun, and godly wisdom, which in the conclusion of Ecclesiastes is what? Godly wisdom. Come on, it's how we, to fear God and obey his commands. Lord have mercy. All right. To fear God and obey his commands, for this is the whole duty of every person. Right. You want godly wisdom? I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Ecclesiastes expounded for chapter after chapter of trying to understand the world from the viewpoint of under the sun, which is worldly wisdom, and then comes to the conclusion of godly wisdom. Proverbs actually begins with this, and it is going to share with us godly wisdom. A wisdom that calls us to maturity and obedience to God. We could summarize all of this by saying that the book of Proverbs is a collection of wisdom teachings and sayings designed to foster wisdom, godly wisdom, form our character, and encourage an obedient relationship to the Lord. All right? Proverbs is a collection of wisdom teachings and sayings designed to foster wisdom, form our character, form godly character, and encourage an obedient relationship to the Lord. So now let's take a look at our passage for today. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. These seven verses are a prologue to the rest of the entire book, an introduction, as it would be, to all that's going to follow. And it starts off, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, King of Israel. And a good portion, as far as we understand it, of the book of Proverbs are either written or collected by Solomon himself. And immediately then, after this, we discover the purpose of this collection of wisdom sayings. This is what it says. So Proverbs was written for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, And let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So the first thing out of the gate, Proverbs is written and the book is given to us for attaining wisdom and discipline. It's a great word for today. 2020, do we even use the word discipline anymore about anything? I don't know. Wisdom has already been mentioned, as has already been mentioned, is the acquired learning that helps one know what to do in a given situation. There's a lot of people that have knowledge, but they don't know how to apply that knowledge. They don't know how to apply that knowledge in a way that benefits whatever it is that they're doing or people around them. As we'll see, this wisdom that we're talking about comes from listening to those who are further along in the process and have more experience, and from being in a right relationship with God. This is how wisdom comes. I'm going to add a little something to this here from what I wrote. COVID. Oh, yeah, anyway. Add something to this that I think that that wisdom, it doesn't just come from learning from those who are further along in the process. I think we should pay special attention to those who are further along in the process, something that's severely lacking in our world today. But God has been challenging me that I also need to have the humility to listen to those who aren't as far along in the process. Because I can get very prideful in my reactions to young people trying to tell me about what's going on in life. Everything within me wants to say, are you serious? You know, you're 20 years old. I'm almost 60, and you're going to discount my whole life and tell me what, you know, how wrong I am. And the Lord has been challenging me, and I'll come back to this in just a moment, that even there, a wise person humbles themselves and listens. May not agree, but listens. Anyway, while attaining wisdom is one of the primary purposes of the book, it is often coupled with other characteristics. In this case, discipline. And this discipline speaks of submitting to instruction in order to reach the goal of wisdom and understand words of insight. Are you with me? It's a discipline to submit yourself to the instruction of others. It's a discipline that we do repeatedly so that we can become wise and understand words of insight. Later in Proverbs 19, it says, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. This same wisdom and discipline will lead us to live a prudent life, a life where godly wisdom is lived out and expressed with actions that are right and just and fair. As it says in Proverbs here. These actions bless those around us and express God's heart to the world. In verse 4, then, we see that who is to be instructed by these proverbs? And this is where I got some conviction for me. The first to be instructed are the simple. The simple. The second are the young. And that's what we think, right? We put our kids through school, right? But it's interesting that then it lists a third group that should be instructed by Proverbs, and that is the wise. Those who are already wise should keep humbling themselves and listening, especially to the Word of God, so that we can continue to grow in wisdom. Did you like how I put myself into that last category? I said we, right? Did you catch that? All right. Just seeing if you're sleeping on me here.
Word.
In other words, we all have something to learn. We can all grow in wisdom. None of us are so wise that we don't need more wisdom. None of us know so much that we can't gain more knowledge. In fact, if anything, I'm finding myself getting older and getting prouder instead of more humble. Because I know a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of books. I've read the Bible. Many, many times. But the challenge for me is to humble myself, especially before the Lord. I'm going to kind of get to that here. Because in verse 7, we come to like the apex of the prologue. And it says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Here it is made clear that there are two responses made by all humans in response to God. Those who walk in the fear of the Lord and those who reject God. Despising wisdom and discipline, otherwise known throughout Proverbs as fools. Even the psalmist said it. He said, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Last week, and I've already kind of said this, but I noted that Ecclesiastes ends with this idea of fear God and obey his commands. And where Ecclesiastes ends, after a long and difficult road through life, Proverbs begins. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In fact, this is also where Proverbs ends, even when it's talking about the woman of noble character. It says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Now, the very mention of the term fear of the Lord, and I touched on this briefly last week as well, causes many people to break out in a cold sweat. We begin to conjure up disturbing images of God in our minds and imagine the very flames of hell singeing our feet. And we think that is the fear of the Lord. I'm going to argue that, there is an element of fear that's just fear, but I'm going to argue for something, I'll try to give you a little more of a biblical understanding of the fear of the Lord. A very good book, I would encourage you all to read it, was written by Joy Dawson. She's been a missionary with Youth with a Mission since 1970. She's not so young anymore, trust me. She wrote a book, and it was called Intimate Friendship with God. Sounds good, huh? Intimate Friendship with God Through Understanding the Fear of the Lord. It is one of the best books ever written that I know of on what the fear of the Lord really is and how a right understanding of it actually leads to a deeper intimacy with God. And really, the bottom line is that it essentially, the fear of the Lord is an acknowledgement of God's rightful place as Lord of the universe and Lord of our lives. It is in this posture, then, that we humble ourselves and draw near to God. When you really understand that God is truly the source of everything, that God is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning or source of all knowledge, true knowledge and wisdom, and we acknowledge that, we are then humble ourselves before God. And what does that do? When we humble ourselves before God, God gives grace to the humble. God draws near to the broken heart. Are you catching what I'm saying? And there is a nearness and a closeness that comes with God when we understand and fear God and put God in God's proper place. When we acknowledge that God is the creator and source of the universe and we humble ourselves, and Proverbs over and over is trying to tell us that when you do that, you are wise. And when we don't do it, you are a fool. The fear of the Lord is expressed in a humble disposition towards God and opens us up to God's instruction and wisdom. Just like I struggle to learn, and forgive me all you younger people that are listening to this, I'm an old guy, right? But I struggle to learn from a 20-year-old. Why? Because I'm proud. Because I'm unwilling to even give, I'm unwilling to give you or you, a 20-year-old, this place to even speak into my life because of my own pride. And the same goes in our relationship with God. When we don't give God that place, that's different because God is God, and and no human being can be in that place. But it's a disposition of our heart. The attitude always of one that's willing to learn. But it begins with the fear of the Lord, not any human being. It begins with the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning, the source of knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord, here in the prologue in verse 7, it's basically clearly trying to tell us that everything else that follows hinges on this understanding. In Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is paired with a phrase or a statement that highlights the various dimensions in this essential attitude of a person who worships the living God. It says, just real briefly, the fear of the Lord leads to the knowledge of God. The hatred of evil, pride, and arrogance. The fear of the Lord leads to a long life, wisdom, humility, honor, and even wealth. But it all begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is knowing what, or maybe I should say who, to respect and placing oneself in a posture of learning. It's consistently contrasted with the fool's prideful rejection of God and the instruction of the wise. You see, fools aren't those who can't learn. Fools are those who choose not to learn. Fools are those who don't listen. And we see them in many different circumstances and situations. Someone who's just never willing to listen. Never willing to accept the instruction or advice. And I don't know about you, I don't think I'm the only person in here that struggles, especially when I'm tootling along and thinking I'm doing just fine, and someone decides it's time to give me a little advice, a little counsel. You know what my first response to advice and counsel? I'm just trying to be honest with you. I'm not a runner. I'm generally a fighter. I get defensive. People that are close to me have, I'm sure, experienced that. And it always, afterwards, I've gotten to a place where at least I recognize it. Sometimes I recognize it quicker. Sometimes I just have to, at first, just walk away or something. Because I'm realizing I don't have the posture of a learner right now. I'm being prideful. For those who fear the Lord, Proverbs invites us to learn and acquire wisdom, to be formed in godly character, and to be in a right relationship with God. That is the invitation, and really if you boil, and from my perspective is that if you boil Proverbs down to a simple statement, it's this. It's an invitation to learn and acquire wisdom, be formed in godly character, and be in right relationship with God. Now that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to going through the book of Proverbs. You know, I love when one of the things I do, we don't always just go through books of the Bible, but I love it when we do, because these books that I've read many times, when you really start just kind of camping in them for a while, man, I feel like my life gets changed. And I get impacted by the Word of God. Proverbs clearly delineates between the path of the learner and the path of the fool. Proverbs addresses the realities of both the wise who humble themselves before God and the fool who rejects instruction and discipline. Contrasts all the way through. In fact, there's a whole section of Proverbs that are just contrasts. This is good. This is wise. This is stupid. Doesn't say that, but you know, this is wise. This is stupid. This is wise. This is stupid. And it, you know, it's amazing. So what is our posture? Because for the one, there is promised wisdom and life. And the other will be folly and death. What is your posture before the Lord? This is a question for you and I today. Think about it. Well, that's what we want our posture to be. But I'm asking you, just honestly, I've already reflected on you that I struggle with that posture. I want to be humble. I think I do have the fear of the Lord. But sometimes, it says the fear of the Lord, to fear the Lord is to hate that which is evil. To fear the Lord is to humble yourself before God. And I don't always walk that way. But I want my posture to be one of humility. I'm asking God and have been for all my life, but it seems like in these last few years, there's been an intense intensity to that. I want to keep God in his rightful place as Lord of the universe and Lord of my life. I mean, he's going to be Lord of the universe, whether I acknowledge it or not. But I want to acknowledge that. I want to have a posture of humility towards God. So let me ask you also, along with me, are you living with the attitude of a learner? Most of you in here are a little bit older, but we should never stop having the posture of humility and of a learner. Again, whether you are young or old, those of you and those listening, I know there's people of all ages listening. Whether you are young or old, are you growing in wisdom and understanding? Are you submitting to the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Do you look at your circumstances and ask God, God, what are you trying to teach me in the midst of this? Do you look at COVID-19, the wearing of masks, the limitations that have been placed on your life? Do we ever stop and say, God, what are you teaching me? What is it you want to do in me through all of these things that are going on in the world? I mean, is God not God? You think God's caught off guard as to what's happening? I don't think so. Are we growing in wisdom and understanding? Are we submitting to the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Or are you, I, stubborn and determined to do our own thing and go our own way? And I don't know. I don't think it's just me, but we can be stubborn, very persistent to go our own way. It's a reality. So I just end with this, which path are you on? Are you on the pathway of a learner, growing in wisdom and the fear of the Lord? Or are we on the pathway of a fool, not listening to instruction? And obviously the primary instruction is the Word of God, but God uses people. It's easy for me to actually... The Word of God is like honey to my soul, right? Sometimes people aren't. Sorry to tell you that. Sometimes it's hard for me to hear God through people, especially if I don't like what they're saying or how they're saying it. I want to be humble. So which path are you on? And I'd like you really to contemplate that. We're going to take communion here. You want a model of humility? It's all captured here in what we're, you know, when we eat this bread and drink this cup, it says that Jesus, the God of the universe, humbled himself. He became a human being and literally laid down his life for a bunch of ungrateful wretches. Humbled the God of the universe with his infinite wisdom, chose humility to bring salvation to you and to me. It even says that Jesus learned obedience through living out his life and unto death. That passage has always kind of boggled my mind. I honestly still don't think I get it. If we are going to be like Jesus, and I don't fully get how this all works, but he walked in absolute obedience to the Father. He humbled himself. If you just would find your way and get that little wafer out that represents the bread or the body of, in the body of Christ. And just as you eat it today, all I'm really asking you to do is take an honest look at your life. That's all I'm asking. What is your disposition? Is it one of humility and walking in the fear of the Lord? Or is it in one of resistance and going your own way, kicking against the goad, so to speak? So as you eat the bread, contemplate the humility of God and ask God to help you be like Jesus. Let's eat the bread together. I believe it's in that pathway of humility that we find forgiveness and grace. It's when we humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need you. Oh, how I need you. That then the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of sin is applied to our lives. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to receive the work of God. Can't work for it. See, when we try to work for ourselves and we try to work out our own, we're going to be good enough and we're going to do more and we're going to be better because then God's got to love me. That's not humility. Humility just receives the free gift from God. So as you drink this cup, as that juice is swallowed, receive with humility, forgiveness, and grace, and mercy. Let's just drink of the cup now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the example of humility and brokenness, Lord. We want to walk in that, Lord God. We want to walk with humility and in the fear of you, acknowledging who you are.